give to Intel. As I said to Team Mate, Mabuza, and Team MM, I said we have got patience. If you want to be here until sunset, we'll be here. So it's a question of time. This time around, I never said time up. I give you all the time. Because you are ready. So it's up to you to take more time. It's up to you to tell us what you want us to hear and where you want us to help or where you want us to appreciate progress. We're at your mercy. Okay.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members, officials from the DMR, ladies and gentlemen. I could not take this opportunity to start by conveying my condolences to the Mandela family, and I'd just like us to take a moment to remember the contribution that Mam Winnie made to South Africa as a whole. Honorable Chairperson, thank you for affording us as MINTEC and the team the opportunity to brief the Committee on Mineral Resources on MINTEC's annual performance plan and budget for 2018-2019 financial year. I am Ketua McLean. I'm a member of the MINTEC board. I'm representing the Chairperson who is unable to be here today. I am accompanied by my colleague, and if I can just ask my colleagues maybe just to show a hand, so because I think we're all sitting here now. By my colleague, Ms. Samke Ngwenya, who is also a member of the board on my left, and our acting CEO, David Msiza, CFO, Mr. Saki Simelani, and the GM of Technology, Mr. Alan McKenzie, the GM of Business Development, David Powell, the acting GM of the Mineral Division, Ms. Nospio Nzamo, and I'd just like to clarify acting in the sense of she's acting on behalf of Mr. Makafula, who is attending a business trip, so it's not an acting, you know, in that sense of the word. And the GM for Corporate Services, Ms. Gugunyanda. So I'm accompanied by that team, and I will go ahead and hand over to the rest of the executive team to commence the briefing. But I know, Chair, you did say that we shouldn't talk about the wonderful things that we do, but I can't help but I think I just need to mention too, and then they can perhaps touch on some of the challenges that we're facing. Over the last 2 years, MINTEC has received two awards. One in 2017, the Top Performing Public Service Award, which recognizes and applauds national, provincial, and local government departments and parastatals that have achieved outstanding results. And then in 2018, the Oliver Top Empowerment Award, which is a result of MINTEC's programs to empower rural communities. I think those are two notable awards that I thought I may mention before I hand over to Mr. Msiza. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chairperson, honorable PPC members, our board members, the CFO of the Department of Mineral Resources, colleagues, good morning. As indicated, my name is David Msiza. I'm the interim CEO at MINTEC. Chairperson, as Ms. McLean has clearly indicated, we'll be presenting mainly our APP and the programs to support our APP, because we believe at MINTEC that we have to demonstrate the impact or the outcomes beyond the issue of numbers. For us, it's very important in line with supporting the government imperatives and also the financials as well. Chair, we believe and we thought that it's very important, ourselves as MINTEC and also our board, that we must also give us a snapshot of what we envisage the medium to long term will look like and how we should be responding to it, not only as MINTEC but also as South Africa through the work that we do at MINTEC. Now, our presentation outline will just give an overview of what we do in terms of the vision and mission. We'll give the organizational strategy. Now, this is looking medium to long term, based on the challenges that our economy has been experiencing in the last 10 years, not only our economy, but the global economy, because of the recession of 2008, and how it has been affecting the mineral sector, and how we suggest we should also be responding to it in terms of the work that we do to benefit our people. We'll talk on the human capital side, looking inward. The technical problems, some of the technical problems that are new, that we have not been, we did not share with the program, with the PPC before. We would like to really share with the people to say what are we doing as MINTEC to support our economy and the mining sector. And as Chair has clearly indicated, we summarize the financials and our plans of where we are, probably touch on some of the challenges that we've been experiencing, and how we respond to them. And then lastly, we'll conclude. Chair indicated that the vision is clear, we've mentioned it before, and the mission. But to sum up, our vision really is to be a global leader in the space that we operate in mineral processing and metallurgical work that we're working on. So that's where we are looking at as MINTEC. And our short to medium and long term plans will clearly indicate that. Now, organizational strategy. Chair, late last year, we came together with the board, the executive management, and the management of MINTEC, and we've done a situational analysis at a microeconomic level, and we looked at historical data that we've been collecting as MINTEC as well, including the financials and the R&D work that we have been doing, to find a way to make sure that we have a proper strategy to respond to the challenges that we've experienced. So for us, it was key also, Chair, that whatever strategies and plans that we come up with, they must be well aligned to the government imperatives, including the NDP, the State of the Nation's address, as well as the DMR strategic plan. Now, from that engagement, we came up with four pillars, key areas that we have to focus on. One of them, the key one, is mineral beneficiation. MINTEC historically, based on the work that we've been doing, our focus has been on mineral processing for the last 84 years, right? But we have done some work on beneficiation as well. We have agreed as a board and executive and management that we have to balance the efficiency work and the recovery rate and the value addition, given the challenges the sector is facing. We are a science council. So secondly, we have agreed that we must continuously enhance our innovation. We are an innovation hub in the mineral space, so it's very important that we enhance that particular space. We'll talk more on what we are doing in that transformation. That's a government imperative. In fact, the state president spoke about it on the SONA as well. So it's important that MINTEC, through our programs, we also make sure that our people benefit from our cloud problems. We'll touch on some of the challenges that we've been experiencing, and we'll find a way of responding to it. And lastly, business strategy. Although we are a science council mainly focusing on R&D, there is a commercial aspect thereof. And in the last 10 years, we generally have been under pressure given the global mining space. Some of the commodity prices have not been favorable, and it has not only affected our sector locally, but has affected our business as MINTEC. So we've agreed with the board that we must now have a medium to long-term strategy to respond to those challenges as well. So we'll give a snapshot on what we are going to do to look beyond 2030, honorable members. Now, Before I move on to this slide, it's important that although these are four areas where we came up about by the board and ourselves as management, we had a staff meeting involving all our 600 colleagues at our campus to take them through our plans going into the future. Right? We had a one-day session at MinTech where we took them through what are we planning. For us, it was important to do this because we must take everyone along and also involve them in our planning and get their contribution. There were valuable contributions that we received from the staff as well to take it these four areas forward. Chair, I've indicated that we are a science council, so it's very important that we continuously look at other areas to improve on innovation. Now, we are currently on the fourth industrial revolution chain, where the groundbreaking technology that is being implemented, including nanotechnology. Nanotechnology basically is to take advantage of the micro matter level, where you look at the atomic level and the molecular level to see how can you assist in the challenges that you are facing. There's now talk about robotics. There's been talk about robotics, artificial intelligence, including drones for that matter. And also biotechnology, which I will also touch on to say what are we doing as MinTech to respond as well favorably to support the fourth industrial revolution that we are there. But it would be amiss of me not to also touch on the introduction of the electric vehicles, the EV, so to speak. In the last few years, Chair, there has been a lot of talk on electric vehicles. In fact, Tesla, it's an American company that was established, interestingly, by South African Mr. Elon Musk. If you look at its share price in the last 5 years, it produces an EV. The share price went up about 500%, and they are producing about 76,000 EVs, right? And its market cap is almost at the same level as Ford and GM as well, although they're just producing 76,000, and GM is producing 3 million vehicles, which are depending on diesel and petrol. So I'm deliberately raising this particular matter because it presents opportunity. EVs mainly uses batteries to drive on the energy side, compared to the normal cars that we're using, which is internal combustion, which are using petrol and diesel. Now, I'm deliberately raising it because most of our platinum and also our palladium goes to our internal combustion engines, mainly on autocats. Platinum is used for diesel autocats. Autocats is basically an equipment in a car to clean up the air, the emissions, the fumes before it gets into the environment. So platinum is used for the diesel engine, and palladium is particularly used for the petrol autocats as well. Now, there has been challenges in the last few years after the diesel gate, where there was a VW scandal in the USA on emission. It has heavily affected the demand also of platinum, because the automakers are now moving away, if you will see, they are also moving away from internal combustion engines. So they're like, next 20 years, they are now looking at EVs as well. But you can see, in terms, makes business sense in terms of Tesla. Similarly with China, they are moving in that particular space. So we see opportunity, it is a challenge, but it's an opportunity for us as a country. We have one of the largest PGM or platinum group metals resources. So it's very important that we come up with programs to drive that demand. So hence the mineral beneficiation. We've agreed with the board that we must now focus more on mineral beneficiation to drive the demand of the PGMs and the other minerals, especially the infrastructure built minerals. And also to assist our junior miners with the programs that we are running. So we'll be looking at that particular issue. I've spoken about business strategy, Chair. We've agreed as well that we must come up with an integrated business strategy, which looks medium to long term as well. So we should not say, hey, the problem is commodities every time. we should say, hey, it's commodities, yes, but what else can we do to make sure that we sustain MinTech as a business case? I think for us it's very important. By balancing our commercial and the state grants that we are also receiving. And lastly, Chair, it's an issue of transformation. We've been doing, on paper, we've really been doing well in terms of transformation, if you look at the numbers. But one thing that we've agreed upon is that there's a lot of planting that we're also experiencing through the work that we're doing, right? It can be procurement. We've seen that nobody would like to use the expression that you'll have an applicant called Masoja Pty Ltd applying for a particular work, and they are level 1 or level 2, BE level, but when Masoja comes, not the Masoja that you thought you were aiming for. Obviously, we are trying to maintain a balance, but we have to make sure that we comply with the government. So we are looking at this particular space, honorable member, to make sure that we have meaningful transformation through our program. This slide is very important as well, but I won't talk a lot on it. I just wanted to highlight that previously and currently as well, we've been focusing on when the mineral is on the ground, right? We come in to assist with pre-feasibility studies, whether there's exploration, but we come in mainly on mineral processing and concentration as well. So we are saying that we should now move more and more towards refining and the manufacturing. In fact, we have started in that. We'll share with the honorable members and colleagues what are we doing in that particular space. So we are saying we must maintain a balance as MinTech, moving long term now, to make sure that there's a proper demand of our minerals, especially the PGMs. Our business, the business environment that I've spoken to, Chair, and I've indicated that since 2008, not all the mineral sectors had full recovery, especially the PGM, really. Yes, there might be indications that there might be local challenges, but if you look globally, because this slide is basically shows, slide 9 shows the global environment in terms of the metals here, right? You can see that since 2008 and probably 2010, it has been going in terms of the commodity prices, the market cap, it has generally been going down. But since last year, we can see the revival, especially within the metal space. And for us, it's favorable because as an economy, we will receive investment. As an entity, there will be opportunities for us to assist the mining sector. Chair, moving to slide 10 as well, just to belabor the point, we've seen that there's about 1,000 drilling projects which were underway in 2017, mainly with gold, copper, cobalt, lithium, and the other resources. Now, it's important to also emphasize, and some of us have spoken on it as well, copper, lithium, and graphite are being utilized in the battery sector to assist the EV manufacturing. We don't have them in abundantly. Currently, mainly, they are in Zimbabwe, DRC, and also in Tanzania, right? So there is demand for that. In fact, the cobalt price has risen 3 times in the last 3 years. So you can clearly see that there is movement towards that. And this also has an impact on PGMs, on the demand of the PGMs. So it's very important that we come up with ways to also to make sure that we drive the demand of PGMs. Now, what does this mean for MinTech? Those two slides, basically, they present an opportunity for us. I won't read verbatim, but commercially, they represent an opportunity for us. Because through the R&D programs that we've been operating on, we've been looking at cobalt, lithium, we've been looking at gold, copper, and so forth. So it definitely represents an opportunity for us as MinTech as well. Similarly, with the state funded work as well, we are going to make sure that as we allocate the state grant, we are allocated to respond accordingly, looking to from short to long-term proper plan. Chair indicated that it's very important that as government, especially as the Department of Mineral Resources and its entities, we must showcase the work that we have been doing. And we have, but we'd like to assure you, Chair, that we have commenced doing that as MinTech, But one of the key things that we've agreed on with the board is that we must register the profile of MinTech, right? So we've been engaging with the mining company CEOs to register to tell them what is MinTech about and what work have we been doing and how can it benefit their mining companies, especially given the challenges that some of them have been going through, right? But the objective of the meeting was twofold. It was really to promote our work, but also to get input from the executive to say how do they see MinTech assisting the mining sector and our economy moving forward. And we had valuable inputs that we've also received from them. So we are not also only engaging with mining CEOs. In fact, the board made it clear to us that, look, you must also look at other opportunities and other industries we've started doing. We have actually started doing that, and we'll touch on them later on, Chair. And to support the Africa Mining Vision, we've also been going into Africa. We've been going to DRC as well to assist those mines there in terms of the programs that we've been doing. In fact, locally, we've also been engaging with our sister entities. We are working together with CGS, Mine Health and Safety Council, and the MQA as well on some of the programs that we can work together on. Chair, on the human capital, I won't spend a lot on this particular slide, on the staff complement. Our staff complement is about 625, but what we are striving to do, Chair, is to improve our demographics, especially in terms of the equity, on the equity levels. Currently, we're having 41.3% of the staff which are female. We're having programs to make sure that we improve on that. It has been increasing in the last 3 years. Our disability is currently at 3%. I've spoken about the issue of the fourth industrial revolution, Chair. It's important, we believe that it's important that we must be well-skilled as MinTech to adequately respond to that as well, as an innovative hub as well. So we are issuing bursaries, including on PhDs and also on masters as well. We're issuing externally, generally, out of those particular bursaries. But we are also assisting the unemployed graduates through internship programs that clearly indicate on the slide on the bottom. And we have an artisan program that we are working together with the MQA. And we'll also touch on the community training that we are doing, especially in the rural areas. We've come up with programs to assist the impoverished rural communities so that they can make a living for themselves. I was talking about the work that we do in Africa. It's not only in terms of the technical work. We have been involved with the non-alignment movement, and we are training in mineral processing mainly, and value addition. We've been training about 20 every year, and we will continue with the work that we do. In fact, we are working together with other programs, not only through this one, but there are other programs that we are assisting, working through the department as well. I've spoken about the community development, Chair. I won't dwell a lot on this particular slide because we did share it with the PPC before, but we just want to impress that we are continuing with this particular program. But what we are going to do as well, and hence engagements also with the CEOs, we've been saying to them, we can also assist the ex-mine workers or the retrenched mine workers through this particular program. We have said to them that we can actually assist them to train them on jewelry making, on pottery, and to run their similar business for themselves. Project that I also want to emphasize on, if you look on the right-hand side of the slide, the photos, the second one, the smaller one at the bottom, there is a project that we are working together with the CGS, Mine Health and Safety Council, MQA, to train a community in the northwest of Mpumalanga. They are the mining amethyst. The crystal rock that you see is called amethyst, a beautiful rock. So they are doing it in a very unsafe way. And people, they come to buy from them. And so they lose a lot of value and money through them. So we've agreed, working with the DMR, that we are going to look at this program to also help them. But we'll also look at other programs as well, Chair. Next one is the key interventions. I've spoken about them. On the innovation, I've spoken about it. On improving our women's representation, I've also spoken about it. And the partnerships with the sector, engaging with the CEOs on what we are doing in that particular space. Health and safety is key for us, especially for the MinTech campus. As we know, we're facing Red Tech. We have a lot of infrastructure, and our staff members might be exposed to some of the health and safety risks and hazards which are there. But we have been monitoring the space. We would like to assure PPC that we are also monitoring this particular space. As you can see on the first slide, which measures the lost time injury frequency rate, we've been trending below the target that we have set ourselves of 1, and we've been 0 since November 2016. Similarly with the health, we are trending on that. But just to also talk on health, Chair, I know the PPC had a meeting last week with all of us, the entities on health and safety. There are programs that we believe that we can assist the sector in terms of the health and safety, including with the Smart World project that we've previously worked on. So we continue working together with the with our other entities in this space. Now, the other program that we've been working on, Chair, is extending the oil resources and unlocking mineral wealth. Our Chair, mineral and PPC members, our biggest or significant ore body that we had, and Mr. Mabuza also touched on it earlier, is the Bushveld Ignatius Complex, right? Which really moves from the Rustenburg area all the way to Skukuni and partly in Mpumalanga as well. But that's where our significant resources lie. Yes, there's the iron and manganese in the Northern Cape and the coal partly in Mpumalanga and Limpopo, but 90% of our mineral is right there, especially with the PGM. So it's very important that as MinTech and as a country, we come up with programs to support that Bushveld complex. In fact, it employs more than 170,000 directly mine workers. So it's important to sustain it. Mainly currently, the minerals that are being mined there is PGM. But there's also titaniferous magnetite, which is there that we think there's an opportunity for the mining sector to take advantage of, right? The mines there, they mainly mine PGM and chromite. But we are saying we're working on a program this year and moving into the future to assist them to extract other minerals through the current infrastructure. In other words, by tweaking the current infrastructure and the flowchart of mineral processing to assist them to gain more value from the process. Also, on the Bushveld complex, we are looking at polymetallic mining industry. A polymetallic ore is an ore that is the source of more than one metal suitable for recovery. So I think there are other metals that we believe they can be exploited profitably in the Bushveld complex beyond the PGMs and platinum and probably nickel and gold as a byproduct. So we are also looking at the Chair. Through the engagement with the CEOs of the mining company CEOs, one of them told us that they still have a resource of more than 100 years with their mine dump. It's the gold mine dumps, right? We have come up with programs of extracting and recovering the heavy metals on those mine dumps, generally. And the slide specifically on the left-hand side shows the values at the top right that will make a mine dump operation more profitable. In other words, you need a gold of 0.5 grams per ton, uranium of about 40 grams per ton, and sulfide of about 0.3. So the small line up blocks there, they clearly show that through the work that we've done with the CGS, the figures are more than that. So we believe that there is an opportunity to extract the metals profitably and also deal with the environmental challenges that we might be facing in those areas. Mineral beneficiation I've spoken to, Chair, that is very important that because we are just exporting a significant quantity of resources, more than 70% in some of the areas. So it's important as South Africa, we take forward our beneficiation strategy to support the NDP and the 9-1 plan. We are working on the iron and steel value chain as well. We'll be working on it because we are very bullish about the infrastructure bill, not only locally but globally. So we are coming up with programs to also to deal with that. I've spoken about gold and PGMs as well, and I've spoken about the diesel gate. We are also looking at other applications beyond AutoCAD and also jewelry. So there are other programs that we are working on as MinTech, collaborating with DST and also the DTI. One of them, Chair, is the fuel cell. We have developed the membrane electrode assembly through the HISA program. Currently, there's been about 1,000 of them that has been sold to industrial customers. This, we believe, not only locally but globally, is one of the areas that can assist us in driving the demand for PGMs, because this is also is basically used as an energy source. So we believe that it's something that we can drive locally and abroad. In fact, the USA, Japan, and China, they're also looking at this particular space. We believe that once we drive this, it will also assist us with the demand for PGM. Sustainability, we've previously taken the honorable members through our submarine project in the West Rand to clean up water. We are saying we're going to continue with that. In fact, we've been engaging with the CEOs to say this project can also help them with their AMD or the exit mine drainage challenges that they're facing in their mines. And some of them, they have indicated they are willing to work with us on this particular program. I spoke about one of our programs on biotechnology. We are working together with AngloCode on this particular project to treat their effluent at one of their wheat bank operations as well. So this is great work that we are doing, and we believe that it will help us in terms of dealing with the environmental challenges and assisting the affected communities. Electronic waste, I've indicated that we're engaging with other sectors beyond mining. We've engaged with Samsung as well. We've engaged with Electronic Waste Association to deal with the growing challenge that South Africa faces on e-waste, including TVs, cell phones, computers, and so forth, to also to improve on this. So there is a program that we are working together and we'll be focusing on during the next three years. Together with the department, the regulator, CGS, we have been supporting the Kimberley process. We have a facility at MinTech. We call it the fingerprinting facility, which we've been assisting the Kimberley process with. We've assisted in analyzing diamonds from seven countries, especially here in Africa, as they are outlined on that particular slide. So we are continuing working together with our colleagues from the other entities and also the department in this particular space. There is a program that we are currently working on. Probably Tolly will touch on the car. The derelict and ownerless mines, in course Mandela spoke about this particular matter, and we do appreciate that it's very important that we must all strive to seek the previous owners as well to deal with this. But we are also, as MinTech, as Mr. Mabuza has touched on, also assisting government to deal with this, mainly prioritizing on as previous asbestos mines. We've done some work in Northern Cape. We are continuing doing the work in Limpopo, and we'll also start working this year at Mpumalanga as well. Emerging technologies, Chair, I spoke about the nanotechnology. When the PPC visited, we took him through our clean room, where we showed you the work that we do to develop the diagnostic kits for testing HIV and other diseases, including malaria and animal diseases. But we are moving also beyond that, using nanotechnology, to use the same technology to treat water, right? So we have produced a technology to assist us in this space, and we believe that this will also assist us in the environmental challenges that we are facing. Chair, I've spoken about the fourth industrial revolution a lot. I don't want to talk a lot on this slide. All I want to impress is that we as MinTech are responding to the technologies that are being presented through the fourth industrial revolution, working together with our sister entities, including the CSIR and their respective universities. Also, we want to be to extend our global footprint. So there is work that we've been doing in terms of research and training in Africa, up north. That slide basically touches on that. And the next slide is also touches on the work that we've done and is being used in the EU as well, in other words, Europe. So this particular slide will also touch on that particular work. Technology commercialization. One of the things that we have identified, honorable members, is there's been some great technology that has been produced by MinTech. But one of the challenges that we've been experiencing is the commercialization side, in other words, the uptake and the usage of that technology. So in that slide, there are some of the technologies that we have worked on, we are going to promote to make sure that they assist our country and also the mining sectors elsewhere. Financial side, I won't talk a lot on the financial side. What the Mali now is like, doing a slide, I've heard you talking about the Mali. What did I say? Doing an Imali. This slide basically shows the annual income based both in state grants. State grants is in reddish or pinkish color. The other revenue, including commercial revenue, in light green. For the historically and moving forward in the MTAP period. But what I wanted to highlight on this slide chair, is that we are grateful that government has been funding our programs, and increasingly so. But one of the biggest challenges that we've been highlighted, including by the board as well, is our commercial revenue has been coming down since the recession of 2008. I clearly highlighted what are the reasons and what are we intending to do to respond to that moving forward. But I think that's the biggest issue that we've been experiencing, and it is also affecting some of our work. But we would like to assure the PPC that we have been prudent in terms of our expenditure to make sure that we don't, you know, we don't surpass the budget that we have been allocated. Now, the slide 45, it shows both the revenue and expenditure patterns and where mainly are we getting the money from, and where are we spending mainly. Mainly we're getting money from the state, and our expenditure mainly is on staff costs, salaries and so forth. We're also issuing bursaries and we'll continue doing that on the roadmap. I won't talk to the other slides because they are graphical indication of what I really spoke about. But this slide, very slide, is important for us, Chair. Slide 47, the board has clearly indicated to us that we have to maintain MinTech as a going concern. So it's very important that we also can clearly indicate to you that that's the area that we have been focusing on. Now, we've been looking at our current assets and liabilities, and we've ensured that, you know, our net worth is beyond our liability. So this slide basically touches on that. And the other slide basically shows the how we are on the state grant. The next slide, the colorful slide, it basically shows where do we allocate the state grants. It's mainly on beneficiation, eco-efficiency, precious metals, including gold and platinum, DNO sites, and so forth. Capital expenditure, this slide is very important for me to highlight on it, Chair. One of our biggest competitive advantage is our infrastructure, including equipment, pilot plants at the campus itself. So it's very important that we must maintain it to keep on working, though, so that if there are opportunities that present themselves, we are ready to assist the sector. So we have been investing. I won't be clearly indicating what are the areas, but these are the areas that we've also been investing to maintain our infrastructure. I think it's very important, Chair, that we highlight. This is generally the financial scorecard. Lastly, Chair, as I conclude, I think as MinTech, and we are a government entity, we have strived, and also through the board, that whatever we do, it must have a positive impact and outcome through the challenges that our economy and our people are experiencing. So we'd like to assure the board and the members that we are constantly looking at programs to make sure that we achieve and support the government imperative, including the NDP as our say. We are continuously going to assist junior miners as well, the mining communities and the retrenched mine workers as indicated. We're going to continue working together with the MQA as well to provide the necessary training, not only internally, but also communities. And we'll accelerate our efforts to get a better understanding of mining operations and also the challenges that we're facing internally. So I think, in closing, Chair, this is where we are. Ms. McLean, I don't know if you want to go back before we continue. Thank you. Thank you.
Chair, and we'll just open the floor to questions. Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Honorable Schmidt, Honorable Lorema, Honorable Mander.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. If you look at slide number 50, on the capital expenditure, there seems to be 2017-2018 forecast, which is this financial year. MTEA funding, capital allocation, that's, I guess, is 600,000. CAPEX funded from reserves looks like 35 million, if I'm reading those figures correctly. The next financial year, 2018-2019, it seems to be nearly a reverse of those figures. You look at MTEA funding, 25 million versus the 600,000 this year. The CAPEX funded from reserves is 35 million versus the 8.8 million for 2018-2019. You see, it seems to be a balancing of the books, which I understand. But my question basically is, why on the base of this figure of 600,000 does seem to be extraordinarily low when compared to the other years? Has there been a cut in that budget? Has there been a cut in the MTEA funding? Maybe I missed it, but there's another question which I think I'd like to ask, but I can't find it for the moment. Yes, the issue was the slide number 49, state grant per commodity. Now, 22% of your state grant goes to derelict and ownerless mines, if that's the DNO, which is what it stands for. We've been saying for many, many, many years that I think it was something like it will take something like 50 or 100 years at the going rate for derelict and ownerless mines, the funding that's been made available to deal with that particular issue. You know, either I'm missing something, but if the department, like I said yesterday, is serious about putting funding into this department to resolve some of the issues, 1,500 years doesn't cut it, no less than 30 years cut it, in my view. It's too long, but Mr. Chair, maybe I could put it in a different perspective, thank you.
Slide 24, the gold dump reprocessing. So what exactly are you doing? I mean, is there a plan to create an actual viable business? What's needed to make it happen? On Savman, the project's complete, what's the comparable cost on treating acid mine drainage to other existing technologies? And if you want to put that in perspective, what's the cost comparison to desalinating seawater, for instance? Could you tell us a bit more about your efforts to commercialize previous projects, Conroast, etc.? And the ferrochrome smelter. Is the new ferrochrome smelter viable when you consider electricity costs? I see there's a slight sort of a peak in state grant allocation this year. Why is that? You talk about gas pipeline reticulation. Could you explain a bit more? And right at the end, slide 52, you talk about getting a better understanding of mining operations. Could you tell us more about that?
talk to the pillars of their strategy. It speaks to innovation, beneficiation, business strategy, and transformation. And not anywhere did I hear anything that has to do with the institution of higher learning and their collaboration with them. And coming fresh from our study tour in Perth, Western Australia, we saw an integrated approach, an integrated strategy which included institutions of higher learning, and I therefore wanted to understand from the integrated what are they doing with our mining universities such as WITS, University of Pretoria, and University of Johannesburg, which we've also been able to visit as we were able to gain that experience from our trip to Western Australia. Secondly, on slide number 12, Honourable Chair, it talks to marketing of MinTech. And what they have undertaken in different activities around marketing. And therefore, I'd like to find out as to what is MinTech doing or what is its role in the Africa down and under, and what is its role in furthering the Africa vision, mining vision. The more disturbing slide, Honourable Chair, is slide number 14, which speaks to staff complement. And if you see just on the figures, it can look rosy, but it's actually a very shocking slide in the sense that if you look at what government has always tried to emphasize on in regards to gender equity and achieving a 50-50 balance, when you therefore scrutinize the figure more closely, the top management, even though you have six top management, there's only one woman there. The senior management, 15 people, and yet only five women. And then the professional specialists, you've got 90, 38 of those are women, and therefore the list goes on, 338 to 188 women. Semi-skilled, 121 to 25 women. Mind you, if you look at unskilled, 55 and only one is a woman. That excludes Honourable Chair, if you take into account and focus only on the previously disadvantaged groups. So if you look at the 15 versus 5 women, 3 are actually white women, and therefore you have 2 from previously disadvantaged groups. This is a shocking slide. And I'd like to really understand from MinTech as to what you are doing in the next 6 months, where to look at 2019 to 2024 or even 2019 to 2030 in terms of changing that staff complement to be reflective of what the government envisions. Honourable Chair, perhaps my last and final question will be focusing on slide number 34, which talks to derelict owners' mine rehabilitation. And they speak of two projects, which are in the development phase and will be completed within this financial year. Can we get more information in that regard? What are these two projects, where are they located, and what is the primary focus of these two projects? Thank you.
Africa, but we've done work in South America and also in EU
And in Canada, we've also done work as well, including Australia. So we continuously focus on that. In terms of the Africa mining vision as well, it's true. It's very important that we work together. I think one of the key things that the Africa mining vision is propagating is Africans must benefit from our minerals. And the value, honorable members, it doesn't, it's not lying at the gate, it lies at the market. So in other words, it's a product that you get more money from. I'll make an example. The platinum price currently is about $900, right? But the fuel cell price can get to $14,000. So we probably would have lost, we have lost in South Africa about 14 times of the value. So it's important that we as a country also working together with the other countries as well, we find a way of how do we benefit from the mineral resources that we are having. So through the work that we are doing in this particular space, and not only on the mineral processing, which is a site which has been also benefiting some of the African countries that I've referred to earlier, we'll continuously make sure that we achieve the mining vision. And one of the key ones is really to get make sure that we beneficiate locally. The others, I'll give my colleagues an opportunity to go through that, and Nyanda is at the back, she can add if there's any, and also we have our board members again. Thank you, Honourable.
Good afternoon, Honourable Members. I'll run through a few of them. Firstly, Honourable Smith, the capital split, that's actually, the figures are correct, and it's the nature of the cycle that we're in with the MTEP projects. Last year, the last financial year, we were finishing an awful lot of projects, so there was not a lot of capital expenditure. This year, we're starting some up, the treatment of the titaniferous magnetites and also the dump processing. So there's a fairly large increase in the capital at the beginning of those programs. Perhaps to move on, Honourable Lorimer, the dump treatment is not finalised yet. We're in the first year of a three-year program, but indeed what we are trying to do is set up viable, sustainable businesses that communities can run. Now, why it's not finalised at the moment is that we're working with some of the mining companies, because in many cases they have a liability for those dumps. And there's some opportunities to tap into those trust funds that they have to clean up to really supplement the revenue that would be generated from recovery of the gold and other metals out of those dumps. So the idea is to work with distressed communities around the dumps and also retrenched ex-mine workers to make that company collective that will actually operate that. Now, we're starting on the program, and this program is to incubate that. So we'll be starting it off. Hopefully it will be a model that can be taken up by mining companies and other organizations moving forward. But we are starting with the first year of incubating that. As far as Savmon is concerned, the costs there, it depends a little bit on the quality of the water. So where we've got to at the moment for the typical type of mine waters that we're talking about, the treatment costs about 10 rand per kiloliter, but if it's very high in sulfides, it can get up to 15, 20 rand per kiloliter, and this does change a little bit with the rains over the rainy season. As far as a comparison with reverse osmosis is concerned, it's not comparing apples with apples. Reverse osmosis for treating seawater to remove the salt from it is about 4 to 5 rand per kiloliter, but it doesn't contain all of the sulfates and the other heavy metals and toxins that the acid mine drainage does. So you're not comparing apples with apples. Probably if you were to apply reverse osmosis to mine water, acid mine drainage, it would be in the same ballpark, perhaps slightly higher, but the main problem is it uses a lot of electricity, and you also have disposal costs for the salts, the brines that are formed. So that makes it more expensive, the disposal of the waste materials. As far as the technologies and the commercialization of the technologies is concerned, Conroe's technology is moving ahead very slowly. Jubilee Platinum, who's the partner that we're working with, has really struggled in the current climate to get the large amount of capital to put in a new smelter. And that still remains. We're hopeful to see something in the next couple of years. There's a few deals that they're working on with some of the majors. But we'll see what happens there. But the stumbling block is the huge amount of capital that's needed. The ferrochrome smelter there, I'm very positive that that will go ahead. The actual planning, the design of the plant, which can take 1 to 2 years as well, that's going ahead. They have nearly all of the capital to build the plant. I think that they have an electrical allocation from Eskom, so they have access to the power. And we're very hopeful it will be economic, because this is based on a patented technology that we have that actually uses low-grade chrome. So the source material is very cheap, that's often considered waste by other producers. So we are very comfortable. A partner that's invested with them in this project is an international trader in ferrochrome. So I think they have all of the elements lined up, and the technology itself should give them a positive edge. Thank you very much.
Honorable Chair, and I will just answer on two. I think my colleague has answered on the MTF and the CAPEX funding, but generally in addition to that, we do strive to have an allocation of about 15% of our grant annually going to CAPEX. I won't re-emphasize on that. There was a question then on the gas pipeline regulation. We do use a lot of gas within Mintec. What we have done in this case is that we have now entered into an agreement with the Goli pipeline, where they are pushing the pipeline directly to Mintec. So it has reached Mintec, and we are now looking at different alternatives of making use of the gas over and above the normal use that we use. So the reticulation is redoing the whole reticulation of gas within Mintec, and not using the normal movable cylinders, but using the pipeline going directly to the different labs within the institution. So we believe that there will be a cost saving, a huge cost saving in that regard. It also involves re-changing some of the equipment, which used to be electrical, to now you can use other furnaces directly with gas. So that's the project that we are actually busy. It's quite a bigger project. We envisage that in the next 2-3 years we will have advanced in the use of gas. I think those are the two issues from my side. Yes, on the DNO, I will touch on the DNO. Yes, correctly so, 22% is spent on the DNO. That's roughly an allocation annually of about 55 million on DNO. As mentioned earlier on, the sites are not becoming too big. On average, if you do a site, the sites that we're dealing with now, they go more close to 100 million per site. The 55 million is just helps in the opening of the road before you even get into the rehabilitation. Then it becomes a little bit of a problem. So I agree with you. I think the allocation can be done to improve the allocation in the year. Thank you.
Good afternoon, honorable members. Honorable Chairperson, thank you for the opportunity. I will answer slide 14. That's on the question that was raised by Honorable Mandel regarding the demographics. We are also in agreement with the portfolio committee. The demographics are really not looking good. And the Honorable Members will remember, though, that when we came here in October 2013 to present the annual report, it was actually worse. We were sitting at 33% female representation. And at that stage, we made an undertaking that we are going to try and shift the demographics steadily. So we have shifted. When we came in 2017, October, we were at 40%, and now we're at 41.3%. So it's a steady rise. It's not as fast as we would like it to be, but at least there's some progress that you're recording. So what are we doing about it? Our strategy is really to work on natural attrition. MinTech is in a fortunate but rather unfortunate position that our turnover rate is very low. So on a quarterly basis, we lose between 1 and 2% of our employees. So it becomes then very difficult to do a replacement rate of the current demographics with our intended targets if we're proceeding at that rate. So we are now making sure that we are adhering to the policy of retirement. So when people are reaching a retirement age, we allow them to go and we make sure that the replacement that we are going to find is actually going to be the correct demographic. For example, this year we have about 20 people that are retiring and they are a non-designated demographic. We'll make sure that by the end of the year we can report that all 20 new employees will be the right demographic. So it's a steady rise, but we think we are getting there. Where it becomes even more difficult, though, is at the level of top management, because in essence it's a collaboration that is necessary between our mother department, the DMR, in terms of the appointment at that level that will influence the change. So between the DMR and our board, for example, there is a collaboration to make sure that we also change that. It's extremely difficult to change. But yeah, so those are the strategies we are using. Okay, thank you.
Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, thank you very much for the opportunity. We just wanted to comment from the board side, specifically with regards to MinTech's role in the Africa Mining Vision and also women in MinTech, because as you can imagine, it is definitely an important point for us. Ms. McLean and myself have been on the MinTech board since May 2016, and I think we must just say from our side that we did realize that there was a definite leadership and perhaps organizational culture issue that did affect the growth in the numbers of females and perhaps the ability for females to thrive in that environment. And since then, we have had a change in CEO. We're actually currently recruiting for a CEO. We have had a change in the board of the chair of the board, and one of our focus areas is to ensure that management and the board put together and agree on an organizational culture that has trickled down right down to, you know, the most lowest ranking member in the organization, so that they can feel that they have a voice, they have a place at MinTech, and they have access, obviously subject to due protocol, to anyone within the organization. And then secondly, with regards to MinTech's visibility and I guess its contribution to the role in Africa Mining Vision, we actually, as the board, have impressed upon our CEO to engage other industries and other companies, and not just mining companies, because if you look at the MinTech Act, it actually says that MinTech exists through research, development, and technology to promote mineral technology and to foster the establishment and expansion of industries, not just the mining industry. And I think the focus has been on the mining industry because that's where it's been easiest, I guess, to get commercial revenue. But we said, you know, looking upstream at the users of more beneficiated goods, we should be speaking to vehicle manufacturers, we should be speaking to telecoms companies, and not just focusing on the companies we've historically been establishing relationships with, which is the mining industries. So our role actually as MinTech, our focus is not our role in the mining vision, but actually in the fourth industrial revolution, because as a technology company and as a research company, we should be spearheading and leading industries in the fourth industrial revolution. So that's our viewpoint from the board. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. If I just may add to what my colleague has said, and I think in terms of touching the different industries, the CEO spoke early on about the nanotechnology, and I mean, I think there are huge opportunities there, and we, you know, as a collective, as a board and management, have been tasked to explore that and look at also, as my colleague said, look at talking to other entities, so other departments, so having discussions at a strategic level with the Department of Health to see how we can roll out this from just being a project, but it could actually have huge ramifications for not just for South Africa, but for the rest of the continent.
Honourable Chair, through you, just to answer Honourable Mandela's question on the two new derelict and unknown sites. These were alluded to by our CEO, and one is in Limpopo, one is in Mpumalanga. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. Except to say there is no worry. You clarified something that was a little bit concerning on your finances. But you have given us an assurance you are working on them. While I was looking at your current liabilities, that seems to exceed your net worth. Your net worth is 202 and your current liabilities are 301. But that's okay. Your asset value, unfortunately, sometimes tends to be something that is relative. And when the proximity is not that big, but as I said, it's a relative. The second one, look, I don't think it's a problem. No. You see, sometimes we are jealous. You must go everywhere, you see, to get money. But don't go everywhere and use our money. That's the difference. Go anywhere to get money, but don't go anywhere and use our money. Except if there are going to be returns. People must budget it. That's why I was saying that even to CGS. My point was just simple. There is nothing wrong to go and look for water. But don't take our money to go and look for water if it's not going to be returned. See? Each one has got their own budget. Coincidence must be coincidence. See? Because when you come here, we budget for you. Otherwise, next time when you come here, we say, no, you've got a lot of money. Go and ask them to give you money to do this. But I think, in a nutshell, the issue for us who are in Parliament, that natural attrition becomes more problematic. I always say, it's only in Parliament when people make legislation, but they don't honor when it is facing them. So if we were to talk about retirement, who are we? Because I've never seen the retirement age in Parliament. So we can't comment on that one. But I think the point has been made. It has to. And he's shaking and sensitive. Let's leave it. We'll talk about it in the corridor. I sometimes will listen very carefully. Now I'm a man. I was listening. Let me leave it. So rather than turn you controversial, let me just leave it as it is. Let me leave it. The president once said, I've heard you. Now that's okay. Very good. My honorable members, can you help me? Now it's 12:52. We are left with two entities. That I said, when they present, they must present simultaneously. My only limitation is that someone created, and it's now a psychological matter, that when it's 1 o'clock, it's time to eat. I don't know where it came from, but once it's 1 o'clock, people tell themselves it's lunch. See, I would have said we can do with these two, and then instead of taking lunch at 1, we take it at 2. As long as they can give us assurance that they can do this in that space of time. Or we go on lunch now and come back at 1:30. Do you have which one? First one, second one? I'm sure those one, but the first one. Okay. Second one, eh? Come back 1:30. Okay, let's be here 1:30. Thank you.